Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished. The word of God.
Thank you, Cheryl. Welcome this morning. It's great to be here, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I was enjoying those moments when you could hear the rain on the tin roof bursting through. Something about rain on a tin roof just is so calming. Do you agree, John? Do you find it calming? No. Yes? Yeah. Yeah, no, John's with me. It's great to be with you once again as we explore our faith and how we do life together. I hope and I pray that you are well and that over this past week your understanding of God and His character have grown. So would you join with me as we start in prayer? Father, we want to thank you for this time again. This time when we get to sit with you, to worship you as the God who knows us. As we look at the man who your word describes as a man after your own heart, King David, we pray that you might work on our hearts, develop within us a clean heart and a heart that seeks after you. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus has provided the ransom for that to happen. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would dwell and minister to us all. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. So over the past few weeks, we have been exploring these heroes of faith. And we've been looking at how they're actually really flawed. They have issues, things that they're trying to overcome, as well as the good and the successful things. And that's important to note. These Bible personalities and their histories are recorded so we can actually learn not just from the positives, those times where they trusted God, but also the negatives. As one writer put it, there's that old saying, history repeats itself. If we don't know or remember the past, we are condemned to repeat it. If we look at our lives, if we take a moment, I wonder if we see similar situations to what these heroes went through. Maybe we're not all called to wrestle with God in the sense of physically wrestling with him, WWE style. Oh, yeah. None of you are wrestling fans? Okay, good to know. But the challenges of life and the times we make mistakes like those before us are a reminder that we should learn from others. We should learn from our mistakes and others' mistakes. But I think there's a very important reason the Bible records these heroes for us to see their positives and their negatives, their successes and their failures. It's because it helps us understand how God relates to people. The story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses show us how God takes people, real people, and builds a relationship with them. The same is true for our hero of the day, David. And like all the other heroes that we have looked at, David has some important lessons and values that we can draw out. Like the heroes we have covered, the story of David records not just his victories, but it also recalls his flaws. I'm sure if we were to list everything, it's not a 100% complete list of everything David did wrong, but some of these mistakes and some of these missteps, it's important to notice, didn't destroy David and God's relationship, but rather these mistakes led to repentance. And repentance led to a deeper desire for God, a deeper desire for that relationship. Now, the Bible regards David as the model king. He is the yardstick that the nation judges all the other kings on. So in the books of Samuels and Kings and Chronicles, we find many descriptions of David's successes. So much so that in 1 Samuel 13:14, David is described as a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Man, how cool would it be to have that title? A man after God's own heart. But I want to point out something to you. At times, David abused his power. At times, he acted like he had no faith at all. David tends to succeed when he doesn't take himself too seriously, but he gets into trouble when he lets the power go to his head. So the time that David acted faithlessly was when he decided to take a census of the nation to see how many fighting men he had. But God had said to him, look, don't take a census. Don't worry about it. I've got your back. You can read about it in 2 Samuel 24:10 to 17. He acts faithlessly. I want to know exactly what I can do with this army. Well, the other major failings that we will talk about when we talk about David is his exploitation of Bathsheba. He sees this girl bathing on a rooftop, says, I want her. Makes it happen. And then he finds out she's married. So what does he do? He makes it so her husband, Uriah, is assassinated in battle. Hello, that's not a good thing. Yet despite all these failings, God fulfills his covenant with David and treats him with mercy. Whatever his flaws, David had this heart for God. And God had a heart for David. When the prophet Samuel anointed David, the scriptures say that from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Despite David committing some serious sins, some things that would probably, well, no, let's face it, would get him arrested and sent to jail today. Things like premeditated murder. Scripture clearly attests to God, David's love for God and God's love for David. The whole book of Psalms, well, I shouldn't say the whole book of Psalms. The book of Psalms has all these poetries and songs that David has written about his love for God, despite his flaws and his weaknesses. And we keep coming back to this idea that David is a man after God's own heart. And that's what we find, right? As we read the story of King David, You see it. He does. He has a heart for God. David was a sinner, and in several ways a grave sinner, but he also knew when he had made mistakes, and he genuinely repented. Yeah, he didn't just say, "Sorry, I got caught." He genuinely bowed down, tore his clothes, covered himself with ashes, cried at failing God. David was a great king, to be sure, but David also had a humble side. It was David's warning to future kings, the advice that he gave towards the end of his life in 2 Samuel 23, that if you ruled over men, that you should be just and ruling in the fear of God. David sinned, but he had reverential fear for God. And that fear was based and rooted in love. David was a man after God's own heart. So if we take a moment and think about how David was that man after God's own heart. After David was anointed king, he graciously served in the current king Saul's court. How would that make you feel, knowing your replacement was just there, or knowing that it's just a matter of time before you replace that person? During this time, he shows that he has a servant heart. And he does things to honor Saul in his position. Even though he knew that he was anointed to be the next king, David was an honorable man, and he respected God's ordained authority, and he didn't take revenge. That's the next thing we talk about. David turned the other cheek. See, what happens is Saul starts getting a little bit paranoid and goes, "You know what? I'm going to end David's life so that way I can still be king and my children can be king." And there's this great story where while David is running for his life, he hears that Saul is camping over the edge of the river. So he takes some men, he gets there and he finds the camp, and he discovers they haven't got a guard on duty, and he walks up to King Saul, who's sleeping. And the guy with him takes out his spear and goes, "Let me strike him down and get him into the ground." And David says, "No, it's not right. This is God's anointed." So they take some of Saul's stuff, his cloak and his spear. And they took it to the other side of the river where David was camping. And he showed Saul later, "Look, I could have taken your life then and there, but I didn't." David relied on God's timing. He knew that God would raise him up at his right time, in the right place. And that's what we see in today's passage, that David was a man who didn't seek vengeance. He didn't look to destroy people. Did you pick up that the passage today was about Saul's death? And instead of celebrating, "Yay, Saul's dead," he mourned. He mourned. And instead of tapping the guy in the back and saying, "Hey, thanks for getting me to this point," he says, "No, you have killed God's anointed," and he carries out the justice for the murder of this king, his king. The story of David's life is a model of faith and courage, humility and patience. And there are some things that we should look at David and say, "Yeah, you know what? I want that in my life." And despite all of his sins, God still loved David. So this is the lesson that we take from David, that not only we can pick up some of his good characteristics, the faith, the courage, the humility, the patience, but we can also look at the story as God loves sinners. God uses sinners, flawed men and women, to achieve his purpose. As one writer said, God can write straight with crooked lines, and he can make a way out of no way. You know, as I was wrestling with this, I wondered if God maybe shouldn't have used people like this. Maybe he should have waited for the perfect person to come around. But that's not who God is. Even in our brokenness, God still loves us. Now, look, there are consequences to sin. I'm not disagreeing with that. But God doesn't withdraw his love from us. Even for those who finally refuse his kingdoms and its value, somehow his love reaches even into hell for those who have already passed. For how else could these souls live there without sustaining love? We shouldn't doubt God's love for us. No matter how deep our flaws or serious our sins, God will never forsake us. He doesn't allow us to experience the consequences of our sins straight away. But sometimes he does, just as he did with David. I read the story of David, and I see a picture of a God who never withdraws his love or fails to shepherd us rightly. Whatever our sin, we have the ability to seek his mercy like David and be accepted by his love. And it's all because we desire to be men and women after God's own heart. And that's revolutionary. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, you know what, I need to get my life straight and in order before I can come to church. To that I say, God says, come as you are. My favorite one is, oh mate, you don't know how messed up my life is. If I ever stepped foot on the church, the roof would fall down. You don't know my flaws. And I agree with you. Man, if I step foot inside a church, the roof would fall down. But it probably has something to do with construction rather than my sins. To that I say, Abraham, the father of the nation, he lied. Isaac cheated. Jacob wrestled with God. Moses was a murderer and had fits of rage. David lied, stole, murdered, and had an affair, but God still used him. But that's not it. That's not all. Let me talk to you about some more of these heroes of faith. These people who had issues, these messed up heroes. Do you know the prophet Elijah? He had suicidal thoughts. Joseph was abused. Job went bankrupt. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Noah was a drunk. Jeremiah was too young. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Peter, the apostle Peter, denied Christ 3 times. Martha, she worried about everything. Zacchaeus was small and money hungry. I don't know if those two things are, like, being small is not a sin. The disciples, the 12 disciples fell asleep while they were praying with Jesus. And Paul was a Pharisee who persecuted Christians before becoming one. The Bible is full of these people who have issues. And Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I don't know about you, but sometimes there are times when I feel that I'm not worthy enough of God. I'm aware of my flaws and my failings, but I remember that Jesus uses, that God used a bunch of flawed people to share his hope with the fallen world. In Jesus, we find renewal and mending. And as someone else once coined the phrase, Jesus didn't call the equipped, he equips the called. No matter what you've been through in life, remember that you have that same power that conquered the grave lives within you. That heart comes from being in the right posture towards God. So as we leave David's story, I want to ask you a question. Where is your heart at? Is it in the right posture? Does it desire God's own heart? Because my friends, God loves us so much. He loves us so much that he paid the penalty of our sins so we could be in right relationship with him again. God could take us at any time he wants. Like David could have taken Saul at that moment. But instead of vengeance, instead of vendettas, God sent his son to die for us. God forgives our issues, our sins. So we should pray that we might have our hearts in a right posture with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the story of David that is accounted in the Bible. Lord, within those books, the story of a king who was patient and humble, but also, Lord, a king who had flaws and issues. So, Father, we pray, Lord, help us. Help us to incline our heart into that right posture, that posture that says, you are God and you can use me. Lord, may we be the bearers of the gospel in a world that so desperately still needs your love. Father, we pray that you would fill our hearts with your love so it is overflowing, that it has to spread out to those around us. So, Father, we pray, forgive us. Forgive us for those times when we have sinned against you, when we have sinned against each other. Father, forgive us for those times when we doubt our faith and we doubt you. Father, forgive us for those times when we deliberately choose not to do the right thing. Lord, forgive us for those times when we choose to do the wrong things actively. Father, forgive us. And Father, we thank you that you have paid the ransom of those sins. And that you hear the cries of your people. So Father, we ask, incline our hearts towards you. Help us to be like David, men and women who have the same heart as you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.